Anyone have a first question for me?
Actually, kind of a question.
Yeah, good.
Sure. Yeah. Building off of what you just said, do you think that the reason that people struggle so much with that is because it's uncomfortable to them and they want to stay in their creature comforts? Or why do you think that happens?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of times people just are in the habit of being comfortable. So they don't feel I had a major breakthrough on a silly occurrence. I was doing my coaching calls, and a lot I do now around coaching calls or audio things that I used to not do, I figured out how to do them. But one time I had coaching calls and I had like 15 minutes. And for months, I've been wanting to clean out this credenza that's in our like family room. And it clicked in my head. I'm like, shit, I got 15 minutes between coaching calls. Why don't I see how much I can clean out of this credenza? And I started cleaning it and feeling really good about it because it'd been so long. It'd been an interference to the inspiration, intelligence, all that stuff that I have. And it was funny because I then started cleaning it while I was on my coaching call and started saying, oh, I could put this down on the credenza and have it on speakerphone, and then started using wired earpieces because I can do more. And now I can do more coaching calls while I'm getting shit done that's interfering with my inspiration. And I think a lot of people get in the habit of just being comfortable, and they're not thinking about why not make a list of all the stuff that doesn't get done and do it while I'm doing the stuff that's scheduled. And like, how many people probably would like to have a balance routine or a stretching routine, right? Almost everybody would like to have it. Even young kids, when I say, on my son's football team, like, hey, do you guys have a balance routine or a stretching routine? No, but I should. Yeah, because I remember when I played high school and college sports, I really thought, man, I really should have at least a stretching routine. Didn't really think about balance as much until I got older. But do you know how easy it is just to do, balance and stretching stuff while you're doing something else? I could probably go through my entire balance and stretching routine while I'm doing a meetup if I wanted to, right? And so, but I that also could save my life. Like when I one fact hit me when I saw that the number one contributing factor to people dying when they're old is actually falling. That's what starts the shit. They fall, now they get sick. They can't, right? They fall, break a hip, and then they don't. And so falling's actually the catalyst to all this other stuff that occurs because they lack movement, nutrition, all the things that, God says is necessary. So it's really interesting. I started going, damn, I should have this balance and flexibility routine so I don't fall because I know I'm going to live a long time. I don't want to fall when I'm 97 and cut short my mission of living to over 111. So I think we have to make ourselves comfortable doing other stuff while we do it and get in the habit of that. Because now I'm the opposite. Like it drives people crazy because I'm like, whoa, I'm doing this. I can't even go through what I went through this morning. Most people won't believe what I was able to do on top of what I normally do. Like these guys don't even know what I did because it's a surprise to them, but it was pretty cool. All right.
So one of the things I struggled with was basically allowing myself to do those things for myself that would catapult me forward. So, you have that time to work out, that time for yourself. And as a dad and a father and providing, I feel like socially, it's like you go to work and you take care of yourself, your business, and then you come home and you have dinner. And so it has to have this like intentional. So do you have any tips on how to get that beyond that? Like, I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah. So this is probably the biggest lesson beyond shifting the paradigm that I teach is non-negotiable behavior. So I start with what God makes non-negotiable for me, which is I'm in this human experience, starting with when my heart starts till the time it stops. So God tells you there's five things you need to do to keep your heart beating, because that's the only thing that determines the end of the human existence or the human experience. The only thing is when your eyes can stop, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your hair can fall out, all of the your brain can stop, and you're still in the human experience as long as your heart's beating. So what does God say? Number one, breathing. If you don't breathe, he's going to stop your heart. If you don't eat, he's going to stop your heart. If you don't drink, he's going to stop your heart. If you don't move, he's going to stop your heart. And if you don't sleep, he's going to stop your heart. So for me, being practical and logical, I'm like, I think, you know, God gives me this human experience. Our God, your God, I don't care what God you believe in, but I believe in something bigger than me only because it's the best option. And I believe that which is bigger than me knows everything, is all powerful, all knowing, intelligent, intuitive, and inspirational. And to that measure, I believe it protects me, promotes me, loves, and perfects me for one reason, because it's the best option. It's the best option of faith. So until somebody can tell me another option that's better than that, that's what I'm going to believe in. To that measure, my God, your God, our God says, these are the five things you got to do to keep your heart beating. I tend to think that maybe I should spend time being intentional about those things. So maybe my heart will beat longer if I learn how to breathe better, eat better, drink better, move better, sleep better. This is literally what it is. So, and if I do that, I'm able to take care of everyone else. So I need to make a non-negotiable those five things. Now, I generalize them to people and say, 8 hours of sleep minimum a day, non-negotiable, prioritized. If I have an exception to it, next day I make sure there's no exception because I don't want it to be a habit, right? It's an exception. I stack wins, not losses in my life. Drinking, eating, sleeping. Then comes family as a non-negotiable. So when you start shifting this paradigm and utilizing non-negotiables, you have time for everything because you start realizing 90% of your success is in the 12 hours of non-negotiable behavior. And the majority of the 12 hours of non-negotiable behavior is sleeping, which is for the purpose of recovering and accessing what? Information, energy, intelligence, inspiration, intuition, to receive all of that so you can perform and react and respond to the circumstances that you can't control for the other 12 hours of wake time. But only 10% of that time, 12 hours of wake time a day out of the 16 hours of average wake time that you have will result in 10% of what you want. It just makes it more enjoyable, more interesting than the 8 hours of sleep and the 4 hours of non-negotiable behaviors on your breathing, sleeping, movement, drinking, et cetera, and your family, finance, faith, study of time, and study of relativity. That's how I break it down. But I would say this is a really big point for people. They just forget about the 90% of where 90% of your outcomes occur. So they're so worried about what makes the 10%. It's just like in business. Like, I coach so many big businesses now, and even in big businesses, I was like, dude, 80% of your billion, I have a client of mine, $4.5 billion business. Aubrey knows him actually. So does Nick. $4.5 billion business. That's a lot. It is not Paycoff who has, $14 billion? I don't even know. These are big businesses. 80% of their business would bankrupt them, and they don't even know it. Because 80% of most people's business, just like 80% of the time that you spend intentionally, is breaking you even or putting you at a loss. So if all you had was things breaking you even or putting you at a loss, guess what you are at? A loss. You're at a fucking loss. So why not dump the losers, work on building profitability with the breaking even or positivity or productivity, what breaks you even, and then focus in on the 20% that's profitable or productive. And so that's what I do with non-negotiables. I'm focusing in on the 20% that makes me productive, right? Sleeping, health, family, finance, fitness, faith, relativity, and time. And don't forget relativity, because man, this is the secret sauce of human existence is relativity. You give meaning to everything you see. And most people don't command their life. They don't co-create their life. Commandment means what? Working with God. Ten commandments. He doesn't demand. They're not called the Ten Commandments. He's not saying you must do this. No, you command. Well, I'm going to work with you, God, to be my best self, to, you know, not covet my neighbor's wife, not cheat and lie and steal and murder. These seem to be pretty bad things. My behaviors will create the outcomes that I desire. You're giving me a divine direction with commandments. All right, Aubrey, the king, queen of questions. Yeah. And I love it.
Hey. First of all, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I go to another networking thing And you always say, like, to be around people that, like, make you feel comfortable and make you feel like you, and, like, to get rid of the people that bleed you. And I've never really understood that. But yesterday I went to this meeting that I've been going for quite some time, and I felt really judged with what came out of my mouth.
Mm.
And I've never felt like that around you in your community. And I just want to say thank you for, like, loving me and accepting me for, like, who I am, but also, like, believing in me and actually, like, helping me. Because a lot of people will say that and then they don't really. And you have always done that for me. So thanks for not being embarrassed of me. It means a lot.
Of course.
Yeah. I know I'm a lawsuit waiting to happen, but I think I'm worth the risk. So,
I'm a lot waiting to happen, but I'm worth the risk.
Lawsuit.
I'm going to quote you.
I'm a lawsuit waiting to happen, but I'm worth the risk. And you're an attorney, so we're good.
Recovering, but yeah.
Okay, so my question is, when people come to you because they trust your knowledge, and they're obviously coming to you for your knowledge, but then they turn around once you give them your knowledge and they completely reject it and say you don't understand, and then kind of even like attack you, how do you handle that?
Oh, it happens all the time. So I think that's a really good point is, one, it's not what I say, it's what you hear. And I have no power to change you or for you to change. And you attacking me or you thinking anything about me is none of my business. And what you think or what I think you think is none of my business. And so there's varieties of things that we have to do. One of the most frustrating things is to want something more than the people want for themselves. So anytime you're a coach, a teacher, a mentor, you're going to fall into, or a parent, which is supposed to be a coach, teacher, and mentor, you're going to fall into this trap that, why do I want it more than they do? When they ask me for the help, when they ask me, hey, can you help me? And then I help you, and then you, I want it more than you, and then you don't do what I say, or you reject what I say, or you judge what I say. Then on top of it, you may even attack me for what I say. It's the same thing as trying to change someone. So what we do is, in a situation, is we offer to help. I usually try to have some sort of accountability. You know, I've been working through with my team, our networking group's growing. You've been a good part of it. And it's interesting because I curate the room by charging for the networking group, but guaranteeing it. And what does that mean? So I charge people to be there because I don't want people in the group that can't afford to be there. And I don't make it $500,000 to be in my group. It's, you know, less than 500 bucks a year. But it's guaranteed, meaning for any reason at all, you don't like my eye color, you don't like Aubrey, or you ran out of money and you need your money back, I will give you your money back. But it's not about, you said something interesting, trusting me. Right. And some of my guys were like, oh, well, you know, only two reasons you wouldn't do it. One, you can't afford it, which we curate the networking group for that reason. Or two, you don't trust Dave because he's guaranteeing it. Has nothing to do with trusting me. What it really has to do with is, one, I don't want people in there that can't afford it yet, because it's meant for people at that level that can't afford that amount of money and are willing to give value for it. Because two, do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself that you're actually going to participate? Because people that don't join the group that can't afford it aren't, I don't take offense that, oh, I don't trust Dave's guarantee. It's they don't trust themselves that they're going to engage and participate. So I only want people in the networking group that are going to show up, help one another, know people that can help one another and show up to other stuff too. And so it's really interesting in this, it's the same thing. I lost a really good friend when I was young who ended up committing suicide when I was old because I wanted it so much more than him. And then he didn't take my advice and then was embarrassed about not taking my advice. Right. And I have no judgment. And so what other people think or you think other people think is none of your business. But you do have to understand you can't change someone, and you absolutely cannot want it more than they want it for themselves. Has anybody heard of my paperclip philosophy? So it's one of my favorite things to do. People will ask me all the time for help. And I don't have the time to waste my time, but I do want to help everyone. And so if somebody said, hey, Dave, can you read over my business plan? Oh, absolutely. Send me a paperclip. Here's my mailing address. When I get the paperclip, I'll read over, review your business plan, and help you. Does that sound fair? 99% of the people who want me to read their business plan never send me a paperclip. So I have vetted out the people that I want to help more than they want to be helped, that actually will do anything about it. Because think about it, if you really wanted my advice, if you really thought I could move the needle for you, or that business plan is going to move the needle for you, it's anybody can afford to send a paperclip. Now, I've had someone send me a 3-foot golding paperclip all the way from Australia once. That got my attention, that they're truly someone that I wanted to help, because they did it. So think about your own way of making sure you hold people accountable, get them engaged, and have them send you a paper clip, either in essence or in physicality.
Is that what you do? You just say, you just give them a task to see if they're serious, mm-hmm. and that's how you end it?
Yeah, because most people won't do it. And then I'd rather them be ashamed and not waste my time than be ashamed after wasting my time, my friend.
So. I've had a lot of people recently tell me to ask you, specifically tell me to ask you. And I've had many people that I've met through your community who have helped me and are very kind to me in some really difficult circumstances.
Good.
And it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest, this situation, but since I was a little kid, I've had very severe brain health issues. And my life's always been up and down, super chaotic, but somehow I made it work. And the last 3 years, it's gotten a lot worse. I got divorced. I self-sabotaged all my businesses. I ended up homeless. I got really isolated. I dealt with every psychiatrist and therapist and experimental medication in California and Arizona and everywhere. And nobody can really figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to fight through. I want to help people. I'm trying to start a new business. And I just keep hitting the bottom. And last night, I was at the point where I was just like, I was really considering just, I just want to end it. You know, I was going to sleep last night in a broken down car that's going to get towed any day. And there's broken glass in it because some drug addict guy assaulted me the other night and threw this giant rock through the window. And I woke up this morning with 87 cents in the bank, and I was considering going to the grocery store to just steal food. And two friends out of nowhere, I didn't even ask them for anything. I just opened up my email and they sent me some money and Venmo.
Yeah.
And it like just lifted me up. Or like, I got to keep going. I got to keep like trying to do this to help people. And Marco Antonio just called me out of nowhere. And it's like, he's got this opportunity to put this Super Bowl that makes together. And Colin, it's like, every day I tell people where I'm at. And every day I tell people, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. And it's like, I'm trying to build some really big things, but I'm doing it from nothing. And it just feels like ridiculous and impossible. And that's,
sure.
Times, and at times I feel like I can do it, and that's what I'm asking. Is like,
yeah,
I don't
sure.
know where to go from where I'm at for it. Like,
so first, just without asking, you got it. So
I knew I wasn't asking.
I know you weren't. I've known you for a long time. I just didn't know the situation that you were in.
And I've been embarrassed.
Of course, I know. So first of all, if ever you want to end your human existence, your human experience, when the heart stops, stop. You can call me, call a professional. Do not do anything else. The minute the thought, the words, the beliefs, the feelings come that you somehow don't think it's worth it, stop. You can call me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, call a professional. There's 800 numbers. So, you know, I've lost two friends. The one I talked about earlier on his 50th birthday, hung himself in his garage. And John Brink is a good friend of mine, Emmy Award winning, family, every post I've ever seen, every conversation I've ever had with him, just like you, was super positive and he was super happy. And he killed himself a couple months ago. And he lost the struggle that you're having right now. So the first thing and most important thing is that when you have the words, thoughts, feelings, and beliefs that you don't think it's worth it, stop. Call me or somebody else, because that's not going to help. Two, it's great to have big dreams, but one of the things that I find that gives us passion, purpose, is to have something positive, productive, income generating every day. That may be small, just enough to sleep in your car and feed yourself. That's cool. 4 hours. You're way too capable, even with the mental dis-ease that you're experiencing right now. You're way too capable not to have enough for rent, food, you know, share a room, whatever. So, you know, lower the bar. So, you know, the legs feed the lion. And if your legs are weak, you can't feed. Your big dreams are great. Marco Antonio, myself, other people that have opportunity for you will be there while you're generating some income and feeling good about it. So those are the first two things that I would do. And I'm more than happy to help with both of those things. Does that sound fair?
No, I appreciate it. And you're right about the little thing, because that's, as I keep going through this cycle of crashing and getting desperate, it's just like Hail Mary pass every single time. Like, it's probably not going to work, but I got to just take
a
shot. And then it just digs a bigger hole, you know?
It's interesting for me, because like I said, I don't think people, I have really big deals. One's today happening, and like really big deals. They went from 6 figures to 7 figures to 8 figures to even 9 figures now. But I promise you, what I did today and every day, 7 days a week, including this, is lowering the bar, right? I did a free Friday training. I do stuff. I don't take $5 an hour, but I do stuff that other people charge $5 an hour for. In great humility. What's my favorite quote? You're either humble or you're about to be. And I take great joy in doing what other people don't like or love. I take great joy in loving what I don't love or like about what I love. I'm gonna repeat that. I take great joy in loving what I don't like or love about what I love. I did it when I played football. I love football, but I learned to love what I didn't like or love about football. And there was a lot that I didn't like or love. I love my wife. I love my children a lot more than football. But I had to learn to love what I don't like or love about my kids or about my wife. That's just what love is. And so in the activity that you get paid for, let's work on learning to love what you don't like or love about what you're doing to get paid.
Sure.
Cool. You got it. Thank you for being vulnerable. And if you don't want that posted, you know, let Nick know. We won't use that video. Even if there's a lot of traffic, you still love being here. This is why I didn't do it at my beach house. Did you see the traffic to get to my beach house? It'd be like 2 hours.
I understand. It gets hard for a lot of us. Just some commentary on the last question. I've been in places where I wanted to end it, and calling that person turned my life around. It's amazing the kindness that people extend you when you're vulnerable. And it may not be fixed right away, but give it time. It'll come back around.
Yeah.
People want to see you win. Well, one thing that I discovered on my journey is that I had a lot of negative self-talk.
Yeah.
That kept me in that endless loop, that downward spiral. The tool that I was given was journaling every day, every night, about those thoughts. And once you write those thoughts down after 30 days and doing it consistently every day, burn it. So those thoughts don't belong to you anymore after that. It is liberating.
Yeah. And that's something like for you, for everybody, like there's been so many people recently who just done little small kind things for me. Not all of them are big things, but it's just like, it's just enough that it makes me feel like I'm not by myself. It makes me feel like I have a pet. Gives me a little more time, a little breathing room, a little bit of hope. And it just makes me also feel like I feel more responsible. Like they invested in me and they believe in me, and I can't do so. I can't give up. I want to keep that. Like it just makes such a huge difference. Those little tiny things that might not seem like anything to me.
Yeah.
Like anger.
So it's interesting just to tie that in, because I probably know more people than most people that I can reach out to, that I have a bigger neighborhood of people that want to help each other, know people that help each other. But that's where faith is so important as well.
Yeah.
Like I, when you talk about I'm not alone, you know, sometimes the antithesis, counterintuitive, when you have millions of people that know who you are, you couldn't even imagine what happens when you have a video, just one video where 30 million people watch it. Like it's unfathomable to think about what that does. What it actually does is it puts you into a semi form of isolation. It's counterintuitive when it's so many people that you actually feel alone. And my faith is there that I'm not ever alone by a best option. I'm never, I'm a commander, right? I work with God. I have unlimited energy, intuition, intelligence, inspiration. What am I doing to interfere with it? And yes, those people that are in the infinite, abundant, unified system with me, it's a system of thought, which we give what commandments to, meaning to, relativity to, through our own freedom to give that meaning. So there've been tons of people who have given meaning to the situation you're in to get them to where they want to be or better. And there's been tons of people that have given meaning to the situation you're in to end it. Which one do you want to give?
And that faith aspect has been huge. Like it's something I've tried to step into more because a lot of times the stress is so overwhelming that it freezes me and I don't take the actions I need to take.
Do it now, man.
But when I'm able to just be like, you know what? I don't see any way out of this. And I don't know how I'm going to get out of it, but I'm just going to do my process anyways. Stuff just happens. Like people, I didn't ask those people to send me anything. They just
faith is a predisposition. Intention is the disposition.
Yeah.
So too many people think that faith is the disposition. Faith is not going to do it for you. Faith is a predisposition, which allows you to have intention as a disposition to do, say, think, feel, and believe everything you can in alignment with the divine direction that you're in, aligns and rearranges the detours into divinity and allows for divine time to reveal the truth that you are incapable of understanding or knowing, which is why most successes come from the place of there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where I want to be, but yet I'm already here.